As well. Let me pray. Father Lord, we are thankful for your word that endures through generations. Through time and space, your word reveals who you are to your people. So Lord, we pray that as we dive into your word today, that it will challenge us, it will remind us of who you are, and will most importantly help us to respond to you. Amen. I think Izzy fell. It's all right. He sounds okay. Now, as he's crying outside, many of you know Ezra. And as a parent of a first child, Jess and I, something that we've been talking about a lot is how do we want to model to him? What it is that we want to pass on to him as he grows up. You know, of course, there are things like, you know, personality or character. We want him to be someone who is honest, someone who is trustworthy, who is confident and diligent, hardworking. Maybe just simple things like love of music, like for Jess and myself. And when we think about what we can pass on to him, we're not talking about things like mementos or family heirlooms. We're often talking about intangible, personal qualities that really matters to someone. And as Jess and I think about these things, we talk about, you know, how is it that we can teach him these things? How do we model it to them in ourselves? As you reflect on your own life, it may be possible that you have received something from those before you. Friends, family, uncles, aunties, people who looked after you and taught you when you were young. Whether you knew it or not, we hear and we learn and we absorb about what life is from those before us. And as we receive these messages from our families and friends around us, whether we know or not, we are at the same time passing on a message to those around us, especially those who come after us as well. So today in the psalm that was just read, we get a name, Asaph. Now, we don't know too much about him, but we can assume he's some sort of a Levite, a musician who wrote psalms for the people to encourage them and to tell stories that way they can remember and to respond. And in verse 1, he tells us very clearly that this was going to be a teaching psalm. He says, listen and hear so that you may learn and follow. It's like he's got a piece of life-saving information that he will not hide from their descendants, that he has to tell them so that they will know. You may think, what is this important message that the psalmist feels he must pass on? And he says, it is the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders of what he has done. This psalm, this song, they sing again and again is a call for each generation to pass on the truth of who God is. This psalm is about a continuing legacy, passing on not of wealth or success, not even of human traditions or cultures, but a personal and communal faith in who God is. See, we only read from verse 1 to 8 before because, like Ephraim said, it is a big and chunky psalm. If you get a chance at home tonight, just read it through. And you'll realize that it is a brutally honest psalm. The song doesn't just sing about the good bits, but it talks about Israel's failures, their doubts, and rebellions as well. But yet, through it all, at the end, we know that God remained faithful to them. It's a story that included God's grace, his discipline, and ultimately his redemption. So whether we are on the younger or the older side today here, the psalmist speaks to each of us. It tells to those who may be younger, don't just inherit your faith. Own it, take possession of it so that it becomes yours. ask questions, explore the stories around you so that the past of other people can in turn encourage you to know that you are not just the future of the churches. But as we see from next week in our youth service, as you participate, you are part of the church today. And to those who are a little bit on the older side, the challenge is, what is it that we are passing on to the next generation? Are we considering our stories, our struggles, our times of faithfulness? These are our responsibilities and privilege to share God's stories with those who are coming after us. For us to pass on that love that Jesus has in our lives. See, if we are to do that, of course, then we too must know him for ourselves first. And so the two key challenges for us today is to remember, firstly, what God has done. And then importantly, to respond to what he has done in obedience and trust. See, when we come to remember, the psalmist says to his people very clearly that they need to remember the statutes and the laws decreed to them in Israel, so that they will know and not forget that from one generation to the next, they will not forget his deeds. That is, God desires every generation to remember God and what he has done. Specifically, in the long history of the people, it is about their escape, their safety out from slavery in Israel. The parting of the Red Sea, God guiding them in the, with cloud and fire. In the desert, God broke open the rocks and gave them water. Each of these things were visible and powerful reminders of how God provided, led, and protected his people in the past. This was to be repeated time and time and time again, generation after generation, so that they would remember what God has done. See, for the psalmist, remembering matters. Their history with God matters. Remembering what God had done in their lives will make a difference, he says. Then, verse 7 tells us, then they will put their trust in God. By remembering the past, they can continue on in a dependent relationship with Yahweh, their God, as opposed to those who forgot these things. Remembering matters because it fuels faith and obedience. God's history with them was not something just to have happened for the sake of, you know, it happening, but it was to help them to continue building their relationship. See, for us, God's past actions with us are not just history either. They're meant to shape who we are, our identity today. See, when my parents, my sisters, and I first came to Australia, my dad had essentially left his business in Hong Kong. And all the skills and experience that he had really didn't translate to any job opportunities here in Australia. And so for the first few years, he was doing any jobs that he could find. He was folding boxes in warehouses. He was delivering pizzas at night. And what that meant was money was a bit tight at home. And seared in my memory was an evening where my mum called me and my sisters together around the dining table. And we had a meeting about how the finances were going at home. And reminding us to, we need to be careful to in how we spend our money. So looking back at that time, in high school, we didn't have a lot. But I knew we had more than enough. We were more than comfortable by any standard. Yes, I saw my parents work hard to provide for myself and my family and my sisters. But more than that, I saw how God provided for us in those years and looked after us. that despite everything, we always had more than enough. So remembering those years, and along with the many years of God's goodness to my family now with Jez and Ezra, helped shape and build how it is when I struggle with trusting God. It shapes and builds my trust in Him now when I'm worried about my provision or whether we have enough as a family. Looking back, I can look back and see if God provided for us then, He will continue to provide now. See, remembering matters because it shapes who we are and our continuing relationship with God. To those who may be a bit younger, you may not have seen the part away like in their escape in Egypt or waters breaking out from the rocks. But what stories of God's faithfulness have you seen or heard? What stories in your family, your church community, your own faith journey have you seen? It is important to make space to remember and to reflect upon these stories. Don't just scroll or like move past these spiritual moments too quickly. Don't just rush past life and without seeing the wonderful hands of God in the work in your life. Write things down. Ask your leaders how they have come to know God. And if you're a little bit older and a few more years in your past, do you know and remember what God has done for you in your many years of life? Are you telling the next generation what God has done for you? Don't underestimate the power of your testimony. Just as the psalmist didn't avoid or sugarcoat the people's failures, don't ignore or hide yours either. It is especially important for you to share your struggles and your failures as they point to God's patience, His grace, and His faithfulness. So if you're a parent or someone older in the congregation, the temptation may be to teach faith by a form of command. Do this, do that, be like this, or avoid that. Let me encourage you to be like the psalmist. To know that we can't command faith, but we can share stories of God that inspires faith in others. Tell of God's great work in your life and make room in your families, our conversations at church, our worship, to share about how good He has been for you. So the psalmist show us the importance of remembering, the importance of stories for both young and the old. But remembering itself must lead us to respond in obedience and trust. See, there were those who actually remembered but forgot about it. They continued to sin against God and rebelled in the wilderness against the Most High. See, for some of these people, the problem wasn't ignorance, it was a hardened heart. Israel remembered what God's work was, but it didn't let those truths sink in and lead to trust. These stories of God's deliverance, many of them would have lived through or have heard from their parents. They would have sung about it when they were young and learned the stories back in the time. But yet they willfully tested who God was. They say sarcastically, "Can God really spread a table in the wilderness?" After everything, they would bring out this sarcastic, accusatory tone and say, you know, can God really do these things still? They did not believe in God's deliverance for him. They didn't believe that God's goodness and trustworthiness in the past will come to translate into the present. Now in God's mercy, he forgave them and led them forward continually. Says in verse 38, yet he was merciful. He forgave their iniquities and did not destroy them. So despite God's grace and patience for his people, Israel still suffered for their ignorance and their forgetfulness. So while there was mercy and forgiveness, there are still consequences to their lack of faith and disobedience. Remembrance must lead us into a response in faith. So for us, it's possible to know the stories, to sing the songs, to come and tell each other, but yet at the same time not let them shape our hearts or our choices. So it's not enough to just know the stories of what God has done. Faith remembers and acts. Trust responds in gratitude and obedience. So Israel's failures is a warning for us that familiarity in God's work is not the same as faith in his character. We are to remember that if God has been faithful in the past, he can be trusted for the future. And that trust leads us to change in our lives day by day. See, back to Ezzy. When he was 1.5, he was just learning to walk. And he would stumble everywhere. And it was a time of exploration and figuring things out for him. And one day, as Jess and I were putting clothes away in the drawer, we left one of the middle drawers open. And as he stumbled onto that drawer, he grabbed on top of the drawer, and he slammed it close. And his fingers were caught in the middle, and of course, it hurt. He cried and he cried and he cried. Now you may wonder or question our parenting at this point, but to be honest, we probably could pay more attention to him. But for him, he remembered that painful experience. But more than that, he learned from it. From then on, he will be really careful to put his hands in the middle and lift his little fingers up as he closes the drawers. He will do so slowly, sometimes it will take a long time for him to actually close the drawer itself. But that memory of his painful experience changed the way he behaved and acted. See, if he didn't change that experience or that memory, would have been wasted altogether. To those of you who may be younger, don't just settle for knowing the stories. Let him change and transform you. Ask and see the God in the Bible who has done these things in the past. What is he doing in your life now? Whether it's your struggles in school, family pressures, questions about your future, actively make a decision to trust and to depend on him. Know that your experiences in the past can come into your faith now. Go on and take risks in your life. Not selfish risks for your own benefit, but take risks for the kingdom of God. Take risks for his glory. And see how God will guide you and walk beside you as you walk in faith. See, there is great hope and assurance in knowing that the more and more you experience in life, there are greater and greater things you can trust him with. From the small things in the past, to the things of the present, to whatever great struggles you will face in the future, each season of life, let these trials of God's faithfulness build you up more and more. And let your faith become sharper and sharper, that you may be greater and greater instruments in his kingdom. That as life gives way to greater and greater challenges, let your faith lead on to greater faith. All because God is faithful to you and is worthy of your complete trust and surrender. And to us a bit older in life, as your knowledge of God translated into obedience? Or has the long passing of time turned these stories just into nostalgia, things in the past that we leave behind? How do we model real trust? How do we model a faith in God that challenges and takes risks? What are we passing on to the next generation? Is it a faith in God? Or are we passing down a message of self-reliance or cynicism or anxiety? Our lives are living messages to the next generation. If it was to be a book about us, what would the theme or the main plot be about? Would it tell of a story of trust and faith and dependence in God? Would it be a story about our own independence, our trust in ourselves? See, we don't need to be perfect, but our willingness to obey, even when it's hard, speaks volumes to those who are looking to our examples. See, for the psalm says, pass it on, what God has done in our lives, so that those around them may too see of God's goodness. The great ending of the psalm is that despite the repeated failures to follow God, despite their repeated doubts, they rebelled, God did not abandon his people. Verse 70 says, he chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens. And he shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hands, and led them. See, David was God's response to a wayward generation. A faithful shepherd who will lead his people with wisdom and with compassion. David forms a part of the message that Israel was meant to pass on generation after generation. That God will not abandon his people and will indeed send them a savior to guide and to care for them. Well, of course, David is only a temporary solution. He was only a shadow of that great shepherd to come. So when we turn to the New Testament, we see Jesus say that I am the good shepherd. And in Jesus, he forms that message that we are called to pass on. Jesus, who is our ultimate shepherd, the greater David. He doesn't just guide us, he lays down his life for us. He doesn't just lead with skills, but he leads with sacrifice, mercy, and truth. He is God's ultimate act of faithfulness to his people. Jesus isn't someone that we personally remember and, you know, respond to ourselves. He's the one we proclaim. As believers, our job is not just to pass on some morals or values or even church traditions. We're called to pass on a person, faith in Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, our shepherd king. He is at the heart of what we remember, what we respond to, and what we pass on. To the youth, don't wait until you are older. This shepherd is calling you now to follow him. Follow him with all your heart, with boldness. Share him with others. Young or old, if you are a believer today, your story with God is no less miraculous than any other believer around you. God has done a great miracle in your life. Your life today can point someone else to Jesus tomorrow. See, there is a great hope of salvation for you personally responding to Jesus. There is a desperate need for those who don't yet know him to respond as well. If there is great comfort for us remembering God's goodness to us, there is a great joy in seeing him at work in those around us. And to those who are a little bit older, you may have more years behind you, but your role is still essential. Don't just pass on principles or teachings. Pass on that person of Jesus. Let your life story point not to what you have done, but what Christ has done before you. See, Psalm 78 reminds us that God is writing a story of grace through every generation. For the countless generations before us, the countless generations that will come after us, and in Jesus, that story has its center. The same story that Jesus Christ is being passed on in history continues to be passed on day by day. Each and every one of us belong to a great tapestry of history that begins and ends with Jesus. A great and glorious history of God working out his purpose through his people. Let us take up our part in that work. Let us remember what God has done in each of our lives. Let us respond ourselves in faithful obedience each day, in submission and trust in him, and to pass on that good news. Not just as a better way to live, but of a Savior who gave us life, of a shepherd who leads us, and a king who is worthy of our whole lives. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we are thankful for your faithfulness to us, to those before us, and those who will come after us. We're thankful for the many things that you have done in our lives, whether we are aware of it or not, that has brought us to where we are today. Great or small, you have brought us that to a place where we can come to know you, to worship you, and to be called by you. Lord, help us to have time to reflect, to respond, and to remember what it is that you have done for us. Give us boldness as we share these stories of yours to others, that they too may see of your wonderful deeds. That they too may follow you and they call you their God. And pray all this in your name.